Well, I will say we come in all shapes and sizes and ages and races and hair colors. Many of us are gray or graying, and we have more wrinkles than most of the other mothers that we see at Meet the Teacher Day at school.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Hope Peace Together. This is a show that gets real about mental health struggles and how to overcome them. Here you'll find personal stories, practical tools, and professional insight for the journey towards mental well-being, whether that's for yourself, a loved one, or the community around you. This is a place where hope is definitely alive. Welcome to the show with your host, Sherry Burkhard.
Welcome to the Hope Peace Together podcast. This is your host, Sherry Burkhard, and I am excited today to have one of the co-founders of Mosaics of Mercy here with me, Paige Butler. And her official title at work is Director of Operations. However, she wears many hats because we all do here. But today we're going to talk about her title at home and how she has tied that into one of our programs at Mosaics of Mercy. So welcome, Paige.
Thanks, Sherry. I'm glad to be on today.
So let's start with your story and how you have used that to create a unique support group here at Mosaics.
Okay. Today, I won't go into my daughter's story as that is hers to tell, but I'm here to talk about my story today. And that is that I am raising my grandson, who is 4, and he has been in our home since he was born. And that is different than most of the grandmothers in our group. But in our situation, he's been in our home, and I am Gigi, and my husband is Papa T. Some grandparents in our group go by mom and dad, but we are happy with our names as Gigi and Papa T.
And he is absolutely adorable and brings us lots of joy when he comes to visit here at Mosaics of Mercy. But what are some of the different scenarios of people who find themselves in your support group?
Well, I will say we come in all shapes and sizes and ages and races and hair colors. Many of us are gray or graying, and we have more wrinkles than most of the other mothers that we see at Meet the Teacher Day at school. Some different scenarios with grandmothers, there are so many different scenarios that have led them to this situation they're in. Some are full-time grandparents like myself. Some are part-time parents. They share custody with their child. Some are great-grandparents raising their great-grandchildren after having raised their grandchildren. And you know who you are, my friend. Some of the grandparents have had knocks on their door from CPS, and they have taken their grandchildren in that way. Some of the grandparents, it's been a mutual decision with their children. And that was in our case as well. Some grandparents, and that's true in my group, have children in jail. So they are not sure if it's a short-term or a long-term commitment. Some know it's long-term. Some have come to this due to mental health issues with their children. Some due to substance abuse. And I will say that is the most common scenario. Some have become grandparents raising their grandchildren due to death of their child. Some have adopted their grandchildren. Some have legal custody. And some have been approved as foster parents. So there are just so many different scenarios that can lead us to this role in our lives. And I just think it's great for the community to get to hear, because you shouldn't assume something when you meet a grandparent that it's one way, or that, oh, their child must have a drug issue, because that's not always the scenario. But I find that that usually is the assumption.
So what is the structure of what we call Grandmothers Raising Grandchildren Support Group?
Well, in our group, because I have for the last 4 years participated in another 12-step family support group that I have found so much strength and hope from, and it's really saved my life. When I started this group, I pretty much set up the same ground rules, that we don't interrupt each other. It's a safe space. It's we lay feelings, any feelings on the table. We definitely keep what is said there to ourselves, and we're not there to fix anything. So we just listen. We do share resources, and I think we'll talk about more of that later, but we just want to offer a safe place where people can be vulnerable, and we want to check on each other. So I really like the format. Usually I start off with a little devotional from a resource book about grandparents, but we don't always talk about that because usually it takes up all of our time. I try to be respectful and keep our group to an hour because, you know, some people are checking in and I want everyone to have time to talk, but we just try to be a safe space. So we don't always talk about the topic, but we pray for each other, and we hopefully have left some frustrations or angst at the door and can go out feeling much more joyful. Since I said joyful, I wanted to mention one grandmother said that her family never sees her smile. And that was such a surprise for me because I see her smile and laugh so much in our group. So we're not just a group that talks about sad things. We are a group that we celebrate victories in our grandchildren and our children, and we laugh and smile a lot. And that has stuck with me all week. So she knows who she is too, listening in.
Well, and I can attest to that, having been in the office while they were meeting in the other room and hearing bursts of laughter come from behind the closed door. So I know that there is a wide range of feelings that are shared in that room. So there are some unique experiences that the group discusses and provides comfort to each other around. What are some of those that maybe come to mind?
Right. Well, I've already talked one thing about CPS, knocking at your door. We know a lot about that and working with CASA workers. But probably the most difficult situation that people feel so safe and vulnerable and comfortable and no shame in walking in our doors. They can walk in and say, my child was picked up last night is in jail. And there's no judgment in our rooms. We know that that's part of it. And they can also say, and I'm happy about that. They have a roof over their head. They have a meal. And there are just not many communities that understand that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping if you're out there supporting someone in that situation too, that you can take that in, because we didn't cause it. We can't control it. You know, the three C's that we work, but we need comfort from other people, and we need to feel okay to say, oh, and I'm so relieved that they're safe tonight. And that's just such a good feeling to provide that space. So that's probably, it's a very common discussion in our rooms. And I'm just so proud that we can offer that to people.
So last year, you had an opportunity outside of the support group for grandparents, both the grandmothers and the grandfathers. And that was a legal lunch and learn. So tell us a little bit about that, because I know that provided a lot of great information for your group.
Right. Well, I found after the first three or four support group meetings that legal issues were a common thing that was coming up. I mean, that was coming up in every meeting. And so I reached out to a family law attorney in our area, and it was so great. His mother was actually raising her grandchild.
And you didn't know that at the time.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And so that was so wonderful. And he spoke at our church, and it was for grandparents. So it was also great to get the grandfathers involved. So the Woodlands Methodist Church gave us space, and we were able to have a big, big room filled. It was a lot of people outside of grandparents outside of our group. So I definitely saw that is a big topic that we need to do more of. Grandparents' laws are changing all the time in the court systems right now because we are a growing demographic. Mm-hmm. So it's time for us to do. I hope that we can all be in person soon and we don't have to do a Zoom lunch and learn, but I really want to do another one with a family law attorney. And I also want to do one with an estate attorney because that is something that we have to really think about for our grandchildren and providing for their future. And there's a lot of different nuances because of our age. So that is the next lunch and learn that I plan to put together and offer for grandparents.
So since our mission at Mosaics involves being a hub to connect people to mental health resources, your group really carries this out for each other in lots of different ways and really represents what we talk about at Mosaics when we say that the Mosaic Heart also represents all the different resources that are brought together. It's not usually just one piece. It's support groups and books and podcasts and legal resources. There's lots of different pieces that are involved a lot of times when we're walking out this journey towards mental well-being. So tell us a little bit about what that looks like in your group.
Well, I will say that our group, probably more than any other group of people or any people that have walked through our doors at Mosaic, have taken great advantage of our library. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people know that, but we have a great library of resource books that are people are welcome to check out and bring back. And we have had quite a few people donate books to our library, but the grandparents have really read a lot of those books. And there's not a lot of grandparent raising grandchildren books. So our grand family guidebook has really done the rounds in our group. But we do have several grandmothers that love to read, both just self-help books on the scenario. It may be parenting books because parenting has changed a lot since we were parents back in our 20s and 30s. So she's great about sharing her books and she talks to the grandmothers and we're always taking pictures of her books to go and read. Another interesting resource that many people might not think about related to books is there's not many grandparents raising their grandchildren in teen fiction books. Mm-hmm. Children, when they read books, like at our house, we fill in Gigi and Papa T for mommy and daddy a lot of times in books for his comfort and safety right now. So when one grandmother has found several books where the grandmother was the central parent in a home. And so that was a fun book to hear about and everybody went and checked it out. So it's just so valuable to be able to share within our group the resources we found. Quite a few in our group have used the resource Kids Camp. It was offered at Council on Recovery. It's on hold right now, but we hopefully will see that back because it is a great program for kids and the grandparents on the kids having a space where they can, just like we feel great in our support group, where they can be with other kids in a similar situation. And it was a program started at the Betty Ford Institute. So it's a really well done program. So we're hoping that we'll be back in our area soon, hopefully after this coronavirus, because that is an important one for the kids to be in person together for. So every support group, we are sharing different resources that we found and that have brought us comfort. So some of them are on our resource page at Mosaics of Mercy. If you look under literature, there's a grandparents section. So I try to keep the books out there as well on our website.
And I will say that Kids Camp is really geared towards substance abuse issues, having been issue. So you guys share a lot of wisdom on top of resources, and you've already given us quite a bit. But I know one topic that you have a particular passion around is a project that often takes place in school, the family tree. So why don't you tell everybody kind of your take being on having your experience of what that family tree activity might bring up in kids?
Well, I mean, this actually started for me, 20, 5 years ago. At our house, we call it the dreaded family tree exercise. My girls are both adopted, so I have had some experience in explaining different family trees, although I don't find many family trees are like the Cleaver family anymore. Most are different. And honestly, if any teachers or principals or administrators are listening to me, the family tree exercise causes trauma for our kids. We often have to seek therapy for our kids because of a simple exercise in the classroom that's supposed to be joyful and fun and great to go home and make a tree and put all these people that love you on the tree. But it's never been that in my experience. And it's caused pain and sadness. I've had to go to therapy for the family tree exercise. As I mentioned several times, CPS, some of these grandparents are getting their kids, you know, when they're 10 years old. If you've just gone into your grandparents' home and have to do a family tree exercise at school, you are often saying, so do I do my tree before I came here, after I, you don't know where people fit on your tree. And that is not the responsibility of a teacher or a school. That is a joint effort of a family. And a lot of discussion has to go into how you explain the different people in a family tree. We do talk about it. I mean, every family that's in this situation needs to have the family tree talk, but it needs to be around the kitchen table at home. They do not need to be guinea pigs with their peers. It is not something that the first discussion should be with peers. That is just, it's traumatic. That's all I can say about the family tree exercise. It is traumatic. I'm happy to talk to any teacher that wants to talk more about that, but that is my biggest wisdom of the day, I would say, is don't do it.
Well, and I think another point you've made before when we were talking about it is that it's for every child, the timing of that conversation is going to be different. Just like what you said, like that if they just came to live with their grandparents, that's probably not the ideal time. That's still so raw. So it's going to be different for every family. So for right. the family to be able to choose when that is.
I mean, it's the same for foster children. I mean, there's foster children in our classrooms too.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many kids that discussion does not need to be in the classroom.
So some of the other things that you have wisdom about is, well, I guess in your group, one of the things you all talk about is when you have other grandchildren besides the one that you're raising or more than one. So what are some of the conversations that happen around that topic?
Well, I will say, you know, again, it's just a safe place. Grandparents have anxiety, you know, going to see their other grandchildren, because a lot of times that means arranging for the grandchild that's at their house to go somewhere else. I mean, you want special time devoted to those grandchildren, but how do you make that special time? There's a lot of jealousy. Grandchildren that don't get to see their grandparents as much as the grandchild that's really their child living at home, not really the grandchild. Because when they're, you know, people say, oh, you know, something about spoiling your grandchildren. Well, when we're grandparents raising grandchildren, we are parents. We are not getting to spoil, give, you know, you don't get dessert before dinner at our house. we're more the traditional parents. So it's just it's hard with our children that have other grandchildren. There can be a lot of jealousy even from that avenue. So again, no one can really fix it for anybody, but it is a great place to come talk about it and talk about the feelings before the weekend visit. And when you come back, you know, we celebrate when it's a good visit, but there's just, we feel bad as grandmothers. We want to be everything for everybody. And that's exhausting. That probably is the one area that exhausts us emotionally more than anything, because we can't be there.
Right. Can't wear all the hats.
We can't wear all the hats
simultaneously. What about taking care of yourself in the mix of all of this? I know that that's something that you are very cognizant of and wisdom that you share with your group.
Yes, that was actually the topic. You know, again, I actually read something from the Grand Family Guidebook, just the intro on self-care, because just like in this virus times that we're recording this in, a lot of our checkups have been canceled. Well, it's easy to get your grandchild's checkups all up to date and put yours aside, but it's just like on the airplane. You've got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. And for our grandchildren, it is great for them to see us taking care of ourselves. One thing that comes up, especially for the older grandparents, some of our grandparents are retired, but they're aging. So they are seeing more ailments with their grandparents. So there's this fear that a lot of teens voice that what's going to happen if you die before I'm 18? Now, very few parents have to deal with that question. So self-care is so important because that's a reassurance to those kids that, oh, they're taking care of myself. You know, people joke about how, you know, raising your grandkids helps you stay young. Well, it does in a lot of ways because we're keeping up. We're on the floor. We're crawling around. We're laughing a lot. We're being silly a lot, which that is really good for your soul. But they just need to see us taking care of ourselves. And that's reassurance that's not something that you would typically think about. But I encouraged all my grandmothers and myself to go make a checkup appointment or, you know, an eye appointment or anything. And, you know, even share it with your grandchildren, you know, that you were doing that. So.
And how about, I know that your number one encouragement for other grandmothers or grandparents in this situation is community. What leads you to believe that?
Yes. I mean, I have sat in a therapy office quite a bit, and I've gone to lunch with friends a lot during my journey. And I do surround myself with a lot of people. I don't try to do this alone. But the thing that has brought me the most comfort in my life in the last 4 years, and Easton's four, so I always like to say that because I was an empty nester for 2 months.
two whole months.
So I got a little nice dose of it, but that's okay. He brought joy immediately. But I have worked a 12-step family program, and that program really saved my life. I mean, that without a doubt, being able to sit in a room with people. And my daughter was actually the one that encouraged me to join that group. So I am forever grateful, Easton's mom. I'm forever grateful for that encouragement. So I will always remember her for that. I mean, she was a part of saving my life.
Right.
And I just find so much comfort in that room. I'm able to go celebrate in that room. I'm able to go cry in that room, and I'm able to leave the tears at the door. And people that walk understand your walk. It may have a little different twist to it, but to me, that has brought me comfort that no other resource has brought me. And in that room that I started in, I noticed a subset of grandmothers. And I just felt we needed another space to add on to being in community together and sharing similar experience. So that's what led me to start the grandmothers groups. Everybody really helps. I really don't do anything except set the meeting time and place. But that just encouraged me. And that has taken my joy and comfort to the next level in this grandparents group. It's been tremendous. And I always say it only takes two people to make a support group. So you don't have to have a room of 10 people to start anything. And that's all I did was I called, I think, 5 people and said, hey, I'm going to start this group. Come join us. And, you know, I didn't know if anyone would show up, but a lot did. And so that's just my encouragement for anyone is, you don't have to have a big curriculum or even any kind of plan. Community is just so vital to, it doesn't even have to be grandparents, being a grandparent, just any struggle or any time period of your life, finding people there with you is just so valuable.
It really is. It's made a huge difference in my life. And I know that getting to be a witness to this has definitely brought joy to me, watching these grandmothers meet together, celebrate together, and just share. So how can people get involved in your particular Grandmothers Raising Grandchildren group?
Well, we used to meet here at Mosaics once a month, but because of the virus, we are not able to meet in person temporarily. We can't wait to get back together. You know, most of us are in that older age group, so we even have to be extra mindful of meeting together as a group. But we look forward to meeting in person, but right now we're meeting on Zoom. And because this has been a stress, added stress, I mean, grandparents having to help do school with their kids. So we started meeting once a week, and now we've backed down because their kids are sharing their computers and everything. We are meeting every other week on Zoom, Fridays, 10 a.m. And I would love anyone to join us. And if you email me at paige@mosaicsofmercy.com, that's easy. My name has an I in it. And I can get you the Zoom information. And we'd love you to come try out our group. And not too many people have come and tried it and not come again. So I think people would find some comfort there.
I would say that so many people that maybe call for resources for one of their grandchildren or a child, and then I find out that they're a grandparent and I say, oh, we have this support group. And they're like, there's such a thing? Like, they didn't even know that was available to them. And that's one of the reasons why we feel so passionate at Mosaics about that navigation piece, you know, having a personal component, because we can hear, oh, this is an option for them and we can offer that. Whereas if they don't know it exists, they can't Google it because they don't know what they'll look for it. So it's been a real blessing to be able to offer that. And so if it's not a fit for them, maybe they don't live here or their work schedule or something like that, what are some other helpful options for them to find that community?
Okay. Well, as I said, if you know one other grandmother, you know, you can start a group on your time schedule. You're welcome to call me if you just want some guidance on how I put mine together, but you can do it on the phone. You can do it via Zoom. Now, some grandmothers are taking an early lunch hour and joining ours. They may not be able to meet in person in the future. We're going to work on that to make sure they could still be involved. But there's also what I have found a lot of comfort, even before I started, was on some social media groups. And I know social media gets a bad rap sometimes, but I have found it to be a great resource for me. I'm in a Texas grandparents group, private group, and I'm in a Grandparents Raising Grandchildren national group. So both of those, like on the legal front, you know, grandparents can put out there, has anybody been in this situation? And, you know, they get so many answers. You know, people ask for prayers there. When things are really rough, they just, you know, it's a place where you can put your feelings out there and be vulnerable. And it really works very similar to in person. And I mean, there's a lot of sad, but hey, you know what? Our lives had a lot of sad. You can look past it. You can take what's helpful and leave the rest. So,
such wise words, one of my favorites. So, we love to end with a story of hope, and I think you've already shared quite a bit, but when that comes to mind of how have you found hope and joy in your circumstance, what would you want to share and leave the audience with?
Okay. Well, I shared one about the grandmother that smiles more in these groups, and I know of her as a happy, smiling person, but that's just brought me joy the last couple of weeks to know I'm in two spaces with her and she smiles so much. So that's added joy to my life. And then the other thing, and I kind of live by this, the people around me hear this often. I'm simple in my wisdom and what I tell people when they're struggling. And I just tell people, I always am looking for comfort in the uncomfortable. And that is how I try to live my life. I don't try to fix every aspect of my life. My faith is strong, and I just try to live and find comfort as best and joy, comfort and joy in my what is not pretty much not daily real comfortable, but I smile a lot and I just choose to find comfort in the uncomfortable. So that's my biggest offering of hope is if you talk to me, you're likely to hear that phrase.
Definitely. Well, and I think one of the things we talk about at Mosaics a lot is that our journeys didn't necessarily turn out how we had, you know, written them, that it didn't meet the expectations. Like you said, you were empty nester, but then in this journey, you've been able to be expectant and there has been great joy. I mean, it brought you to helping co-found Mosaics. It brought you into my life. It, you know, brought you into these grandmothers' lives. And so, you know, I think that that part is that there is beauty that can be brought even when it's not something that we had planned.
Right. So much beauty. Mm-hmm. And I see it every day. And I'm reminded about it every day when I walk in these doors. So I'm very thankful for, I don't regret the pieces of my journey.
And if you look in our Beauty and Brokenness booklet, there's a picture with hands holding, and one of those hands is the four-year-old grandson's little hand. So he gets roped into lots of little projects around here. So I know you have one quote from another grandmother, and I thought we would end with that.
Yes, I asked for some feedback when I was about to record this podcast, and one just hit me. She said, "Sometimes I just feel too old for this. And then I look at my babies, my grandbabies, and I think this is why."
Well, I thank you so much for sharing this today. I'm so thankful for the resource that it provides so many, and the hope and the comfort in the uncomfortable that you're able to share. And if you want more information, you can reach out to us at mosaicsofmercy.com. We ask that you share this podcast with your circle. You never know who might need this information and might find it beneficial for themselves or someone they know. Thanks so much for listening in. We hope you guys have a great day and look forward to talking to you again soon.